Here's your money briefing for Thursday, August 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's pretty cheap to fly these days, as many Americans opt to stay home and put off travel. But this year, low demand is making it hard for airlines to set their fares for next year.
And so they not only are sort of pricing blind right now, but you can imagine next year, there's still no relevant historical data, and for some time to come.
So how cheap will tickets likely be next year? Middle Seat columnist Scott McCartney will be here to run some numbers after the break. Airlines are facing a money issue, and not just because fewer people are booking flights. The pandemic has thrown off the airline system for setting prices for future flights, like well into next year. That's Middle Seat columnist Scott McCartney's beat, and he's here to explain. So, Scott, you know, it makes sense that airfares are pretty low now. Everyone's staying home. But what doesn't add up is that next year's fares will be low, too. How do the airlines determine prices?
Well, the traditional way has flown out the window. Traditionally, they determine prices based on historical patterns. So they know on the third Tuesday of October that on the 2 p.m. flight to Cleveland or Chicago or wherever, that there's going to be a certain amount of demand. And they parse it into business demand, leisure demand, and figure out how many seats to hold back for higher prices that people will show up for in a few days before departure. Now all that historical information is completely irrelevant. And so they not only are sort of pricing blind right now, but you can imagine next year, there's still no relevant historical data. And for some time to come, since the year of the pandemic is, they hope, not going to be indicative of what kind of demand there will be in the future.
Can you give us an example of some of those low fares?
There's very little variation in fares on a lot of routes. So I looked at, for example, New York to L.A., one of the busiest routes in the country. And basically, there's a $300 price. That's kind of the standard minimum these days for airlines. $300 price for close-in trips for August, September, even into October, periods when airlines know there will be very little demand. So if you want to go, it's going to be $295. But what was sort of fascinating was if you look at same trip in May and in June, same days, you know, leaving on a Friday is typically what I looked at, same $295 fare. So there was really sort of no confidence that they had any idea of higher demand to come in the future. And, you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, there are not a whole lot of people booking trips right now for May and June. But I think what you're going to see is not necessarily fire sale prices. Airlines know that they're not going to stimulate a lot of demand right now with cheap prices. So they put a basic, bottom kind of a fair price, if you will, out there, $300 round trip coast to coast. And just take whoever they can get at that price.
Now, I'm sure there are lots of computers involved here, and the airlines' computers probably don't know what a pandemic is. You know, they just see the raw traffic numbers. But can't programmers step in so airlines don't lose money on flights next year?
Well, they certainly can, but they're going on gut instincts. And, you know, airlines, it's a seasonal business. What happened last week may not predict what happens next week. And so, you know, it's different from a lot of e-commerce, for example, which looks for things that are hot now. And, you know, as we saw, if there's sudden demand for face masks, the price of face masks are going to go up. Airlines don't necessarily operate that way. And so it does become difficult. There are analysts who fine-tune these things. But if you think about all the different flights, all the different markets, each flight, there's the complexity of, do you want to fill that seat with a person going from a city to a hub, or do you want to fill it with a connecting passenger? So what's more productive? If I'm in Raleigh-Durham and I'm going to California, I'm competing on that Raleigh-Durham to Dallas leg, say, competing with people who might be going all over the place. And the airline, it's a really complex decision to say, okay, this is what we think is the maximum price we can get at this time for that seat between Raleigh-Durham and Dallas.
Now, what about business travel? That's usually a profit machine for the airlines. Are they going to let those fares remain cheap also?
Yeah, that, business fares are the real crux of it's the real heart of the matter, because airline pricing systems, it's really a matter of inventory control. And they'll sell you cheap fares ahead of time, but they always are looking to see how many seats do we need to not sell so we have them available for business travelers who are going to pay higher prices close in. And what we're hearing is that there's no confidence that those business travelers are going to come back. It's going to be a slower return than leisure travel, and some business travel just may never come back. So, you know, business travelers in many ways have subsidized the cheap fares in the back of the airplane. Those high fares in the front of the airplane allow them to offer deep discounts in the back. And so if you take away the high profits on business travelers, what's left? It may be that if there is demand for leisure travel, that leisure travelers will end up paying a little bit more because they're not getting subsidized by business travelers.
Now, the airlines are betting, or at least they're hoping, that business ramps up soon. Is there any indication that when it does, it would affect people who want to pay with frequent flyer miles or rewards?
Well, I think people who want to pay with frequent flyer miles are going to have a buyer's market for some time to come. As long as there are open seats, I think the airlines are going to be happy to take your miles and get those miles off the books, especially when prices are so cheap right now. So, you know, it's really going to be a buyer's market for award availability. And, you know, we talked before about the lack of business travel demand. If you want a business class seat, there's going to be ample opportunity, I think, for some time to come to use your miles for upgrades for business class international travel, expensive things like that, because you're just not going to have a whole lot of competition from people who are going to plunk down $7,000, $10,000 cash for the seat.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Middle Seat columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure, good to be with you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.